want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject of important lessons that changed my life. Important lessons that changed my life. How many in the room know that if you walk with the wise, you'll increase with wisdom? That's what the Bible teaches us. I wanted to take today and just say, if I had a few minutes to talk to you and sit down, what are some things, if you say, Pastor, what are three things that, you know, you could give me that would really help me in life? These are the three things that I would want to share with you. I'm just a firm believer of hanging around people. I've always, all my life, hung around people who know more than me, hung around people who had more than me, hung around people who had done more than me, because you know, if you're the biggest fish in your tank, then your tank is too small. Does that make sense? You need to make sure that you're understanding that, yes, there are people that I need to pour into, but I also need to be poured into. Does that make sense? And so Proverbs the 13th chapter and the 20th verse in the Message paraphrase says, become wise by doing what, class? Walking with the wise. It says, hang out with fools, and what's going to happen? Watch your life fall to pieces. And so you have to make sure that you're careful with your friend group. You got it? Birds of a feather do what? You become like who you spend time with. And so it's important, especially when you're choosing friends, that you choose friends wisely. When you're choosing friends, there are several questions you need to ask yourself. The first question you need to ask yourself is, do we have the same convictions? You got it? If we're going to be friends and we're going to hang out and we're going to fellowship, do we have the same convictions? Because the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Right? The second thing you have to ask is this person going somewhere? Do they have goals? You got it? Are they really trying to go somewhere in life? Because I'm trying to go somewhere in life, and so I want to be around somebody else who's trying to go somewhere in life. I want to be around people of like precious faith. I want to be around word people. I want to be around people who know how to stay in the fight. That way, if you see me backing up in faith a little bit, you can say, hold on, brother, wait a minute. We walk by faith and not by sight. So do they have the same conviction? Are they going somewhere? And then number three, will they make me a better person? Will they make me a better person? Because you have to understand that in life, people will either add to your life, subtract from your life, or cause division in your life. You got, they're either going to add, subtract, or divide. Say add, subtract, or divide. So we thank God for the ones who add in our lives. You got it? And sometimes when you look at people who subtract and people who divide, you know, if you were to say, I'm going to get rid of one, you say, I'm going to get rid of the one that subtracts, the one that takes from me. Nah, I'd rather get rid of the one that divides and causes division, because if you take something from me, I can get that back. But if you're going to cause division in my life, that causes confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. And so I want to give you some wisdom today that I believe will help you in life. My definition for wisdom is a disciplined approach to living whereby I operate by spiritual principles and through discernment I accurately apply, now you got to catch this class, both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge together into my situation, bringing forth the perfect will of God for my life. And so you have to understand, when it comes to wisdom, you have to take natural and spiritual and put them together, all right? You can't be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good, but you can't be so carnal minded that you can't hear from God, right? So you have to learn how to have both. James, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse in the Message translation, it says, do you want to be counted wise? I know I do. To build a reputation for wisdom? He says, here's what you do. Watch this. Live well, live wisely, and live humbly. Now, how many know that's some good wisdom right there? It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. See, you can talk the talk, but the writer's saying, can you walk the walk? Right? Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom, all right? So how many know we don't believe in mean Christians? Isn't that right? We don't believe in mean Christians. Praise the Lord. All right? So mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise. Show enough. The Bible don't say show enough. I'm adding that. Show enough isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Wow. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at others' throats. Man, this Bible is helping us on this morning. Watch what verse 17 says. But real wisdom, God's wisdom, I love this, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. And just keep that right there, because I think that that's what we need to understand, that wisdom is not me walking around like I'm the man and I'm better than everybody because I got this or I'm that. No, I mean, you could throw all that away because God doesn't care about any of that, right? You know, but real wisdom is characterized, the Bible says, by number one, living a holy life. Like every day I'm waking up and, Father, I'm going to give you my very best. And then the next part I really love is characterized by getting along with others. It is so important to learn how to get along with people. Get along with people who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't vote like you. You got just learn to get along with people, because you have to understand that everybody, including the people that you don't like, Jesus paid an incredible price for absolutely everybody, right? And it's important to understand that. You got it? And so, because how many of you can't change everybody? You got it. So just get along with everybody, right? And so he says it is gentle wisdom. It is gentle and it's reasonable. So anytime, you know, I'm going off or you're going off, we're really not walking in wisdom, because wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is reasonable and it's overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and not cold the next. What's them next three words say? Not two-faced. Y'all know what that is? All right. Okay. You can develop a healthy, robust community, WLCC, that lives right with God and enjoys its results if you only do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And here at WLCC, that is the culture that we have produced. We have people that have don't know anything about church that come and they love this church. And then we have people like me that came up in church, maybe called you, Church of God in Christ. And we knew how to put them up and put them down, and we love it. You got. And then we have members that said, man, I used to be Catholic. I gave my life to Christ, and I love this church. And we have Methodists and just AME and all these kind of things, you know. And why? Because we have built a community that's based on God, where Jesus is the center, right? And I think that it's that we have to understand that that is what real wisdom looks like. So how many points you think I have for you today?
Three.
You already know I've got three simple points that if I was to sit down with you and kind of talk you through some things and help you through some things, that would be a blessing to you. Amen? All right. Mama Shirley doing good? She's doing good, all right? She had surgery, and she's at the hospital recovering, and we thank God for a successful surgery, but now we thank God for a full recovery in Jesus' name, amen? But you're right in the middle of your lesson. Let me just help you in your life. You got it? The number one thing in your life should be people. I might not see them after service because there's so many people, right? So I've thought about it right now, so I want to make sure she's good. And then I got us all in faith that Mama Shirley's going to have, you know, a full recovery in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's jump into it. Everybody say point number one. The first thing I would tell you is that learning to be a giver and not a taker would cause you to live an abundant life. You got it? There's too many takers in life, too many people that always want to subtract from you, but not that many people that actually want to give, all right? So learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an abundant life. And when you begin to understand this point, generosity is really key. Generosity is fueled by love. The writer teaches us that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave, right? So love gives, but lust takes. I'll say it again. Love gives, but lust takes. Be careful being in relationships where you're doing all of the giving, but you don't get any of the receiving. See, everything in life, every relationship in life should be reciprocal. You got it? And so, you know, so you have close friends and, you know, family and those kind of things, and you're in a relationship with them, and that's good. But make sure relationship is reciprocal. Now, it's not keeping score. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, we done went to lunch twice, and I done paid. When you gonna pay? That's not what I'm talking about. You got it. That's not what I'm talking about. But there should be reciprocity. There should be gratitude. There should be love. There should be loyalty to one another. There should be faithfulness. See, I really, like me personally, I really don't need your money, but I just need to know, are you going to be loyal? Like, if I'm not in the room, and then, watch this, my name is brought up in the room, but you're supposed to be with me, are you going to just let them run me down and go, oh, wait a minute, hold on, that's not the person I know. I don't really need your money. I just need loyalty, all right? I'm a very loyal person. If I'm with you, I'm going to be with you. You got it? What if you mess up? I'm still going to be with you. Because, see, God don't throw his people away. Why do we throw people away? Oh, that's a whole nother lesson for a whole nother time. So grateful people are generous givers. Grateful people are generous givers. We look at kids' Summer Blast, and Summer Blast was absolutely amazing. We had almost 150 kids that registered for Summer Blast. If you were there and saw what we put on and how we did it, you can see that it cost several thousands of dollars to do that. And we decided to do it absolutely free because we didn't want any child not being able to come. And so they had fun. They learned about Jesus. They learned some worship songs. You got it. They were lifting their hands. Some kids gave their lives to Jesus. They learned that church can be fun. You got it. When they came, not only did they see, you know, the ladies, and we thank God for all the ladies, but they saw all kind of men that were working. You understand what I'm saying? They saw what church should look like. They saw what the kingdom of God should look like. And so it was completely free. It cost us several thousand dollars. Watch this, but you can never replace the impact that was made. God, we believe, is going to give us the money back. You understand what I'm saying? No doubt about it. But you'll never be able to change the fact that those kids' lives were impacted in an amazing way. Amen? And so the Bible says in Psalms 37 and 21 that the wicked borrow and never repay. But the godly are what, Clay? Generous, godly people are generous givers, and grateful people are generous givers. Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 25th verse says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And the word is so true. Giving is really a matter of the heart. It's learning to trust God's plan to prosper over your plan. And I really believe that one of the biggest keys to giving is learning to give joyfully. You got it. Anytime, you know, a lady and I give, you got it. It's always joyfully. We're always excited about giving. We're always happy to give. You got it. And it's not so much we're happy to give because I know I gave, so now God got to give back to me. No, we don't even think about that because we know God's always going to do his part. Does that, you know, but it's just the feeling that you get that you're able to be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? And let me just help you. Anytime you give, let me just help you with this. Anytime you give, anytime you sacrifice, to maybe God says, hey, I want you to do this. And maybe it's $200, $300. You're like, ooh, that's a lot of money. But you decide to obey God. Once you obey God, right, the first thing you do is you give it joyfully. You got it. And then you set your faith that because I obey God, because I sacrifice, that's going to set in motion the supernatural power for my life. The supernatural power of God for my life. But what you do is whenever you give to somebody, never expect anything back from them in return. Always know that God is the one that's going to pay you back, and he can always pay you back better than anybody. Does that make sense? Yeah. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse says, remember this. Do what, class? I'm really going to try that again. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse says, remember this. Do what, class? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. He says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Nobody should make you give. It's got to be something that you do from the heart. When you come to this church, we don't make you give. Now, we teach you the word of God on giving. You got it. We give you opportunity to give. You got it. But we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to put it in your heart that, no, this is God's plan for my life, and this is what I need to do, right? So you don't do it under compulsion, because if I give because you made me, there may not be any faith in my giving. Does that make sense? All right. It says, for God loves. He does what, class? Takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you how? In abundance, so that you may always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, what's that word? Self. It's the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. What's self-sufficient, Pastor? Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That is God's plan for your life. So number one, learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an abundant life. All right, everybody say point number two. Point number two, integrity and influence can take a lifetime to build and one poor choice to lose. All right. And that's why you have to just, you know, be real careful and put safeguards in place and be around people that you can be accountable to and make sure that you hang around people, you know, who have good standards. You understand what I'm saying? I don't hang around brothers that don't like their wives because I like mine. I don't hang around brothers that, you know, that flirt with other women. I ain't flirting with nobody. You got it. Ain't no woman like the one I got. Right? No. And I want to hang around other brothers like that, that they love their wives. You understand? Because we understand this was our choice. She's the one we chose. You got it? And that's it. For better, for worse, richer, or poor, sickness and health. You got it. Till death do us part, we are in it to win it. Right? It doesn't mean that we might not have a challenging moment sometime, but because I have a challenging moment doesn't mean I back up. I'm in it to win it. Does that make sense? All right, so you have to hang around people like that because the Bible says that all is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you're going to mess up, it's one of those three gates, all right? You got it, the lust of the flesh, you got to watch your body, all right? The lust of the eyes, you got to watch your eyes, right? You got it? The writer says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm only going to look on that belongs to me, right? And then the last one is the pride of life. And be careful because you can act real sanctimonious and real spiritual and have pride and it won't get you anywhere. Does that make sense? Beware of sin and beware of distractions. What did I say? Beware of sin and beware of distractions. Everybody say stay focused. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jacob told his oldest son, Reuben, you're as unstable as water. Why would Jacob say that to him? Because you have to understand that water takes the shape of whatever environment you put it in. If you have water in a cylinder, it takes the shape of a cylinder. If you get a square bowl and pour it into, you know, a square bowl, it takes the shape. You know, and the writer's saying, don't conform to everything, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So don't say, well, the reason I started smoking weed is because I started this job and everybody else is doing it, so I'm doing it now. No, no, no. When you go into an environment, you don't let the environment change you. You change the environment. All right. Never consider yourself above temptation. Can I get a? Don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. He desires to sift all of us as wheat. But Jesus has already prayed for us. Amen. And we're going to make it, all right? So if you ever feel, watch this now, if you ever feel the enemy enticing you, here's what you do. Here's what you do. If you're in a moment, you got it, almost feels like a little bit weak, and every one of us has been here, you ain't got to say amen. I got my own head. Amen, Pastor. Show enough right. I ain't going to say nothing. Amen, Pastor. I'm going to keep my head down. That's okay, because Pastor's going to help you right now, because every last one of us, including Pastor, at some time in our life, has been in the valley of decision. Should I do this or should I not do this? I kind of really want to do this, but I know this is not the right thing to do. In that moment, you got it? In that moment, here's what you do, class. You maximize the consequence and you minimize the pleasure. Everybody say maximize the consequence and minimize the pleasure. That's what you do. Do you maximize the consequence? If I do this, you got it. What are the consequences that's going to follow through with this? Watch this. And I guarantee you the consequences that are going to follow are greater than the little bit of pleasure you're going to have in that moment. Does that make sense? Now that's a good place to clap right there. Yeah. And so integrity and influence can take a lifetime to build and one poor choice to lose. And it's not that God won't forgive you, because God will forgive you. The problem is people don't. Oh, if I had time to talk about time. You got it. To explain to you that sometimes you can make a mistake and you can mess up and that kind of thing. You can go to God and he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But unfortunately, a lot of people, once they see that and they see that mark, you got it, and you messed up, it's like in their mind, they can never forget it. You know, we won't bring up the fact that they probably messed up. You understand? We won't bring up the fact that they got some stuff. You know, so, but as best as you can, learn to walk in integrity. You got it. And do things the right way. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results, right? Okay, so let's rehearse in the back, all right? Let's put up point number one. On the count of three, class, with a strong voice, I wanted you to give me point number one. One, two, three. All right, now let's put point number two on the screen. Here we go. One, two, three. That's good. I do got some long points this week, don't I? Praise the Lord. When I started having you rehearse, I said, oh, yeah, that's long points. All right, and here we go. Everybody say point number three. Being in agreement with your spouse will take you further than making an independent decision. Being in agreement with your spouse will take you further than making an independent decision. And all of God's children said, all right, so we talked about how learning to be a giver, you got it. It puts me in covenant with God. I've got to do that. But not only do I have to be a giver, you got it, I need to have my integrity, and I got to keep my heart right, and I got to make sure I'm doing things the right way, right? And then point number three, and even if you're not married, you're probably going to be married one day, so you need this lesson on the front end, all right? Agreement is the keeper of peace. What did I say? Yeah, so success in marriage, I'll just be real honest with you, is a lot more mental than anything, all right? A marriage is work, and marriage is hard work, but if you put in the work, you can have an amazing, amazing marriage, all right? So success in marriage is more mental than anything. It is making up your mind to make things work. So it's through the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? You know, it's funny because on, you know, when you're ready to get married on the wedding day and everything, you know, the preacher's saying, repeat after me, and for better for better or for worse, you know, for richer for poor, you know, and sickness and health. But then when something shows up, you'd be like, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It is agreeing to disagree without falling out with each other. You got it. You know, lady and I, this December be 27 years, and amen, praise the Lord. And you know, we continue to work on our marriage, you got it, but we really got this thing running like a well-oiled machine, you understand? But watch this, because of what we've done along the way to get here. So what happens is in the early days, if we disagreed and those kind of things, you know, we made a commitment that we're not going to be fussing at each other and raising our voice and saying mean things to one another, because after everything calms down, you really didn't mean all that stuff, but words do hurt. You got it. You know, the whole sticks and stone may break my bones, but names will never hurt. That's actually not all the way true, because it really hurts people when you say things that are hurtful. Does that make sense? And so it's agreeing to disagree. And so lady and I could disagree on something, and she could be like, well, babe, I don't agree with that. I said, okay, no problem. I kind of feel the way I do. She said, okay, I feel the way I do. I said, okay, well, we just table that and talk about it later. You ready to go to lunch? Yeah, let's go to lunch. I mean, I ain't going to be hungry because we didn't agree, right? Yeah, we still going to lunch. Brother man still got to eat. Sister girl still got to eat. And when we go, we talk, you got it, acting like, why? Because we've learned how to table stuff and not worry about it, because we understand that, okay, that's a little bit of a friction point for us that right now, and that's okay, because couples are going to have friction points, but couples that grow in godly wisdom, no, we'll put that to the side. We talk about that later. That's not going to mess up our day. That's not going to mess up our lunch. Sure enough, ain't going to mess up our night. Praise the Lord. It's not going to mess up anything. Y'all didn't catch that. All right, here goes the next one. It's not allowing a disagreement to turn into a divorce. Amen? Okay. It's making my spouse my priority, making my spouse feel important and special, not important and special, not some of the time, but all of the time. You got it. All of the time. You got it. You know, I'm you know, if you know James, that's me, I'm James. If you know James, he loves some LaCante. That's LaCante, right? You got it. I love me some LaCante. You got it. I don't need nothing else. Don't want nothing else. I just need to make sure I get me some LaCante, right? I tell people she like Jesus. She like God. She supply all my needs and even above my knees, right? You got it. But I let her know how much I love her. I let her know how important she is. And I'm not, that's not something I'm just saying. That's something I feel on the inside. I couldn't do what I do without her. You understand? She is my prayer warrior. You got it. She is my biggest cheerleader. She's the one that pushes me. She's the one that encouraged me. If nobody got my back, I know she got my back. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And gratitude should reciprocate. Come on, somebody. And so I tell that girl, I don't even know how many times a day I tell you I love you. And I don't know how many times a day I tell you that she's beautiful and she's gorgeous, right? You know, we was going somewhere the other day. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm just going to be honest with you. We was going somewhere the other day, and she come around that corner looking all good. I said, you need to go back in the room and put something else on. Yeah, you need. She's like, what you talking about? I said, no, you need to put something else on. That's, you know, praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Okay, I got to keep rolling. I got three minutes. All right. So let me help you. Marriage is a covenant and not a contract. All right? See, a contract is where you protect your rights and limit your responsibilities. But a covenant is where you give up your rights and you pick up responsibilities. And there are three areas where you have to give up your rights in marriage. Are y'all ready for them? All right, everybody say priorities, possessions, and privacy. So priorities, that's easy. Your spouse becomes your number one regardless. That is it. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Number two is possessions. Everything now belongs to you both. Well, that's my car. No, that's y'all's car. You got it. All right. Okay. And then privacy. How many know there are no secrets in marriage? Everything's available, right? Cell phone, email, bank accounts available for both parties to see. How you run your money is how you run your money. I'm not telling you what to do as far as that. You can have your own account. They got their own account. We got middle accounts for it. And that's all fine. But if an emergency or a crisis come up, how many know everything should be available? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Trust is key in a marriage, all right? Another big key to a successful relationship is learning conflict resolution, all right? The quickest way to learn each other is to spend time with each other and to communicate, all right? Lady and I, we talk all the time, right? You know, we're always together, right? We like you know, we got several different rooms in our house, but whenever you find Lady and I, unless I'm studying and working on something or unless she's working on something for church, we're pretty much always together. We watch TV together, unless it's Lifetime, praise the Lord. And then I let her have it, all right? And I have watched it with her, but she has finally released me from that, and we praise the Lord for that. All right? So, married couples, I need you to do one thing. I need you to maintain your marriage. I maintain my vehicle. Every so many thousand miles, I get an oil change. I get it washed all the time. You understand? I keep an eye on my tire pressure. I keep it clean. You got it. And those, what am I doing? I'm maintaining it because I want it to last a long time. I want my marriage to last a long time, so I maintain my marriage. You understand? You got it. I don't just look for withdrawals from lady, but I'm making sure that there are plenty of deposits of love and of affection and of affirmation and of laughter and me acting crazy. You understand what I'm saying? And just those kind of things, right? So if you haven't yet, you got to learn how to stay in love with your spouse. Because the devil would like nothing just to creep in. And that's why you can't start all this fussing and arguing. Because what you do that, you crack a door open to the enemy. And then you stop talking for, you know, the whole day. And that door gets a little bit, open a little bit further. And then at nighttime, one of you going to get in the bed and the other one come grab the pillow. And, you know, you going on the couch. And now the devil said, I got him right where I want him. Don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. All right, you got it. And forget all that grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Hello. All right. Okay, Maestro, I think we better get up out of here. Amen. They're getting a little quiet on me. Pastor, how does a person going from saying I do to I don't? Like, how does that happen? They were so happy. They were so in love. They were so this. They were so that. All right? Sin, selfishness, and sidekicks. That's how typically a person goes from saying I do to I don't. Sin, selfishness, and sidekicks. Everybody say sin. This is where a person allows their flesh to get involved in sinful activity that slowly but surely erodes that person's love and respect for God's word, which funnels over into their relationship. Everybody say selfishness. This is where a person's focus in a relationship shifts from satisfying their spouse to self-satisfaction. Now their main objective in the relationship is personal happiness at any cost, and that's nothing but a trick from the enemy. And then lastly, somebody say sidekicks. This is where the compromising activities and sometimes sinful habits of friends, associates, and social companions begin to influence and overtake what a person knows is right. Paul says, when I would do good, evil is ever present. There's a law in my memory that's warring against the law of my mind. And he goes on and talks about all those things. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion and association, when you hang out with the wrong people, it corrupts and depraves good manners and morals and character. When our kids were coming up, especially when they became teenagers, I start seeing, like, if they brought a friend to the house, I could tell in 15 minutes if they need to be hanging around with that friend or not. If you're a parent, you know the same. We have that instinct. We know. You got it? But just like I know that person ain't good for Jay, that person ain't good for Hannah, I also know that person ain't good for me. And it doesn't mean that I feel like I'm better than somebody else. You got it? But it means that I can't be in that close proximity and relationship with you because I can't have what's on you rub off on me and it mess my life up. And so I've got to make a decision, amen, that I'm going to do it God's way. And if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I want to make three simple appeals today. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the kind of church you go to. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. And I believe, number one, it's the order of God that you give your life to Jesus and get saved. And then after you do that, number two, I believe it's the order of God that you find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church that will teach you the word of God to help you overcome every obstacle so you can live an incredible life. And that's what WLCC is, and that's what WLCC does. Lady and I, we pastor this church together. We know we have what it takes to teach you the word of faith, to help you overcome every obstacle so you can live an incredible life. And so if you're interested in joining our church, take that connection card, fill it out in its entirety, and just click I want to join WLCC today. And then your next step is to join Membership 101. There are QR codes, I think, at the guest services. You can go on our app. You can go to our website, you know, and you can find them there. If you can't find them in any of those places, just ask somebody here at church or just call, and we'll be glad to help you. And so we want to be, Lady and I, we want to pastor you, and we believe that we can help you and your family get to the next level in life because that's God's plan for your life. My second appeal, and most important appeal, is if anyone's in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you got to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is not a hard word. It's a real easy word. Repent has a lot to do with a change of mind and a change of direction. That is actually the proper translation when you look in the original text. It's a change of mind and a change of direction. That I was heading in the wrong direction. I was doing the wrong thing. I decided to repent. I changed my mind, and then as a result of me changing my mind, I changed my direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creation. That old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Maybe you're in the room or online and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. As a matter of fact, he loves you tremendously. So much that he has this moment in time for you. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And if you know that's him, then just answer the call. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're just a Christian. You love God. If you died right now, you'd go to heaven. But maybe you're like, hey, I just need to get something right. I need to ask God to forgive me for this or forgive me for that. See, 1 John 1:9 was literally written to the church. It was written to the believer. It says that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. So if you fall under any of those categories, say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Or I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or I'm a Christian and I need to repent. I want you to pray this prayer and I want you to repeat it after me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?